This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Here's an admission. Last time I did Economics 101 was in a class during the late Jimmy Carter administration, so maybe I've forgotten a little. Plus, I don't remember my old textbook doing much to address economic inequality, climate change, or other updated concerns. So to bone up, we are starting a new project here called Econ Extra Credit. To kick it off, kind of a New Year's resolution as we wrap up the first month of the new year, I am going to start reading a lively Econ 101 textbook that is open source, available to anyone for free. And I'm now inviting you to join me. Let's read this baby together, chapter a week, and we, you and me, can be done Econ 101 by April. Funny thing, in recent weeks, New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof wrote a column about the secrets to success. Number one for him was take a course in economics. And he took our call.
Oh, my pleasure.
Take a class in Econ 101. Okay. Why? Do you run into people who have not?
So I think a couple of reasons. One is that we've repeatedly mangled macroeconomic policy in the U.S. And it's pretty obvious that even lawmakers kind of have no clue about really basic issues like, you know, what a fiscal stimulus is. But beyond hoping that if more people studied economics, we would also actually have better economic policy, economics is just a great toolbox through which one can examine all kinds of other issues. And I think that the concepts that people pick up in studying economics, things like marginal cost or marginal utility, I mean, supply and demand curves, correlation versus causation, present value, these are concepts that are really useful analytical tools in all kinds of other areas that one might have an interest in.
Chances seem high that at some point in your life, you're going to be sitting around a table or in a public forum having a discussion over the merits or not of, say, rent control, you know, as a way to alleviate the housing crisis. And economics can help you grok to understand really what you're talking about when you either advocate or argue against rent control.
I think that's a good example. And there are some issues that where almost every expert has a quite different take than one that the public has intuitively. On the liberal end, liberals tend to be much more enthusiastic about rent control because it seems a compassionate response to housing shortages, whereas almost every housing economist will warn that these simply reduce availability of housing and can compound the problem. And at the conservative end, I would say that the Republican tax cut is, again, an example of something that it would have been really hard to find any mainstream economist endorse that kind of tax cut that late in the economic cycle and think that it would possibly pay for itself.
You're also traditionally, I think, a advocate of critical thinking, and you're not saying just accept everything they tell you in Econ 101, are you?
No, and in fact, I kind of want a little bit of money back from when I studied economics, because I don't think economics, when it was taught in my era, adequately accounted for the non-economic issues or those that are not measurable. So we measured economic losses and economic gains, and if the gains exceeded the losses, then we thought, okay, this works and we can compensate the losers. What I don't think we understood was that, in fact, the losers do not get compensated and that there can be psychological losses that are overwhelming, and then people may self-medicate with drugs or alcohol in ways that unravel the social fabric. So I think that economics missed an awful lot of that. I think that economics is getting better at incorporating some of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since I actually took my one course in Econ 101. It sounds like it's been a couple years since you have. That textbook would have been unlikely to have spent much time on, let's say, climate change.
That's right. But it's kind of interesting that one of the reasons that I wish I'd actually majored in economics rather than in political science is that there are a lot of fields that are outside of macroeconomics, areas like healthcare, that one can imagine a lot of different disciplines being focused on: sociology, political science, psychology, physiology. And yet in discussions of healthcare policy, it was really the economists who took over. And that was because they brought a rigor to it that other disciplines to some degree lacked. Even happiness. Happiness started out as an area that psychologists were focused on. And now an awful lot of the cutting edge work is really done by economists because of that toolbox that they bring to it.
Yeah, it seems as if, despite some of the flaws of economics, economists assume that we're more rational than we are and don't see market meltdowns coming because they think we act rationally more than we do. But despite those shortcomings, it sounds like economics may have gotten more interesting in recent years.
I think it's both become a little more tethered to the real world and that it's also applied much more broadly to contemporary problems. So everything from, as you say, climate change to poverty, to trying to figure out how to get more students into college most effectively. And economists have been rightly pilloried for getting the Great Recession wrong and often for being in bed with powerful economic interests. But I think one needs to distinguish the economic concepts and the tools that it brings to the table. And those are really useful in so many areas and so many, you know, very disparate fields that that I as a journalist encounter every day.
Well, if you think you need a refresher, there's a pretty compelling free textbook and you can download it if you have a long plane flight so that you can read it while you're in the air.
I will check it out.
New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof's latest book is with Cheryl Wudunn. It's called Tightrope: Americans Reaching for Hope. Mr. Kristof, thank you.
My pleasure.